Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining Beth Emmanuel's virtual community and support our efforts for the kingdom by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
On the first day of the Festival of Sukkot, the Torah reading covers the whole biblical calendar. For our purposes here at Beth Emmanuel, to abbreviate and to do what we can do, to bite off what we can chew, so to speak, we've read only one aliyah out of the Torah portion, and that is the pertinent passage. We heard the pertinent passage about the Festival of Sukkot. But if we were to read the whole parasha for today, it covers all of the biblical festivals. And this raises an interesting question for me. Why would we read about Shabbat, and why are we reading about Passover, Pesach, and why are we reading about Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur at the Festival of Sukkot? Surely the answer must be that Sukkot is the culmination of all of the above. It is the culmination of all the festivals that have preceded in the liturgical year. This can be compared, in my mind, to Parshat Maaseh, where Moses recounts all of the encampments, all the campsites, where the children of Israel camped during the 40 years in the wilderness on their journey to the land. In that sense, the Festival of Sukkot, you could say, may be compared to arriving at the Promised Land. It is the fulfillment of the promise of the long journey. It's the end of the long journey. And therefore, it represents, on one level, represents the land, but it represents the kingdom of heaven. The land and the kingdom of heaven are related to each other. So it represents the Messianic era. And this explains why the Haftarah portion that we heard was from Zechariah chapter 14. A prophecy of the Messianic era. A prophecy of Gog and Magog and the great battle, as Christians refer to it as Armageddon, that precedes the Messianic era. A prophecy that we read about how in that day, all nations will ascend to Zion to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. And in that day, then the Torah will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord out from Jerusalem. So, Sukkot is a culmination of all of the appointed times. Sukkot is to the other festivals, I like to think, what the Sabbath is to the other 6 days of the week. It is a prophetic picture of the coming kingdom. It foreshadows the great celebration when the entire world will live in peace and brotherhood under the reign and rule of the righteous Messiah King. And all nations will be in peace, and there will be no more war, and they will not learn war anymore, and swords will be beaten into plowshares, and the wolf and the lamb will lie down together, and all people will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And there will be all-night dance parties in Messianic Jerusalem. Sukkot is called the Festival of All Nations. And over the course of Sukkot, 70 bulls are sacrificed, representing the 70 nations. So it is a little bit ironic, I suppose, that the mitzvah that we heard from the Torah, the actual mitzvah, says, Basukot teshvu shivat yamim kol ha'ezrak b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. So in Sukkot, in a sukkah, all of you shall dwell for 7 days, all native-born of Israel shall dwell in booths. The Torah is rarely explicit, as so explicit to say, this mitzvah is incumbent on Jewish people. That means the God-fearer, the Gentile, is not required. He's certainly not forbidden, but he is not required. She is not required to dwell in a sukkah for the 7 days of Sukkot. Isn't that interesting? that the Gentile is explicitly not required to participate in this mitzvah, and yet this is the most international of the festivals. The Talmud in Avodah Zarah speculates about this. And the Talmud speculates about this, and it teaches that in the Messianic era, the Gentiles will voluntarily desire to take on even the commandments that are incumbent only on Jewish people. And the Lord will say, okay, you want to take on the whole Torah? Well, I'll test you. I have a simple commandment to test you with. It's called Sukkah. And so Hashem will give the Gentiles the opportunity to become enter into a state where they are obligated to keep all the commandments, but first he will test them by having them build a sukkah during Sukkot and live in the sukkah. And if they can handle that, if they can handle the easy commandment of sitting around and sipping on soft drinks under the shade of a sukkah, then he will give them more. And this is what it says in Avodah Zarah. So in that sense, for Gentiles, the festival of Sukkot, and especially the mitzvah of Sukkah, which is explicitly not incumbent upon us, those of us who are not Jewish, represents the kingdom, the Messianic era, in a special way, and the Torah going out to all nations, even the commandments of the Torah that are incumbent only upon Israel. That's how it'll be in the kingdom. And when we see it from this perspective, Sukkot should be especially pertinent to congregations like Beth Emanuel, where there are some non-Jews practicing Judaism. It also indicates something about what God's purpose is for a place like this, a place like ours, and a practice like ours. And that is that it is a harbinger of the kingdom. For example, when the Holy Spirit was given at Shavuot, and given to each disciple of our master, the apostles regarded this as a sign, a portent of what was to come, that it was a down payment on the Messianic era. When it says in the Messianic era, regarding the Messianic era, that the Holy Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh, from the least to the greatest. And that in that day, the least in the kingdom of heaven will have greater prophetic status than the greatest prophet in this current age. And so when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Shavuot, the apostles said, the kingdom's coming. And this is a sign. This is a first blooming of the kingdom. And in some sense, disciples of Yeshua then are... We've already entered into the kingdom, right? We've already entered into kingdom status. So too, for us, among the nations who are already keeping the festival of Sukkot, it's similar to receiving the Holy Spirit in that regard. It's similar because, Sukkot and many other commandments that are not strictly incumbent upon us in the kingdom, they will be. In the Messianic era, they will be incumbent upon us. And this can be understood as taking hold of the kingdom, as our master teaches, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. For that reason, it is good, and it behooves us all to sit in a sukkah as much as possible. The weather will not cooperate. But this is Hashem's gentle way of reminding us that Wisconsin is not Eretz Yisrael. And into every sukkah, a little rain must fall. In any case, we should try to sit in the sukkah. Now, you may know that the mitzvah of sukkah actually entails moving into the sukkah for the duration of the 7 days of Sukkot. And that is how it is properly done. The Mishnah is very clear on this. And you eat in the sukkah, and you sleep in the sukkah, you study in the sukkah, you pray in the sukkah, you live in the sukkah. You know, to really do it right, we would watch TV in the sukkah too. But in Ashkenazi tradition, and particularly Lubavitch tradition, which comes from a climate very similar to our own, These requirements have been reduced down to simply taking one's meals in the sukkah, and that's been the tradition my family has followed. That's where we learned Sukkot from. And so that's sort of a bare minimum of the mitzvah of Sukkot. If you have been blessed to have a sukkah yourself this year, I encourage you to take it seriously. Don't let it just be a little shack, a little monument in your yard that you kind of walk past, for the 7 days of Sukkot. But actually, get in the sukkah. That's what it's about. And try to eat all your meals in there for the 7 days. And if you don't have a sukkah, if you do not have a sukkah, and you don't have access to one, I encourage you, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. But maybe next year you will have a sukkah. That's the great thing about the festivals. There's always next year. But if you do have a sukkah, and when you enter someone else's sukkah, you should do so in a sort of spiritual reverence. The sukkah is, in a sense, a holy place. It's something created solely for a mitzvah, and that makes it a holy place. And then there's the presence of the holy ushpizin, the guests that are there. So it's sort of a holy place. This doesn't mean that you should sit in stiff reverence in the sukkah, however. I mean, as if you're like, oh, you know, don't talk about something mundane, we're in the sukkah. Because it's also supposed to be your home. During the festival of Sukkot, your regular home is not your home, and your temporary home is your home. So you're not expected to treat the sukkah as if you were in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Holy Temple or something. Nevertheless, there is a little sanctuary aspect to the sukkah that should be respected and even taken advantage of. It's a very good place to pray, to study, and to hear the voice of Hashem, to meditate on the Torah and on the Messiah, and to spiritually enter into the space, a little space, of the kingdom of heaven. Because I think your sukkah exists both here and now, and also in the Messianic kingdom. So that when you enter the sukkah during the 7 days of the festival of Sukkot, you're entering the Messianic era, so to speak. It's a little slice of heaven. And that is why the ushpizin are there in the first place. That's why they're present. Because the space within the sukkah is both here and now, and there and then. And the kingdom is not only at hand, but it's already in your sukkah. So, one should take advantage of the opportunity to bask in that taste of the age to come, a little sanctuary in space and time. And because Sukkot and the space inside your sukkah is part of the kingdom, it's inappropriate, by the way, to mourn or to be sorrowful during the Feast of Sukkot. In fact, it's a mitzvah to be happy during the festival of Sukkot and to rejoice for these days of the festival of Sukkot. Even if you say, I don't think I have anything to be happy about, it doesn't matter. You're obligated to be happy. It's a mitzvah. So just as the priests were not allowed to mourn in the Holy Temple when they were serving in the Holy Temple, during the Feast of Sukkot, there's no mourning, and especially not in the Sukkah, God forbid, because in that time and space, we are in the place where our tears will be wiped away and the consolation of Hashem will be made manifest, and joy is the only appropriate expression, so the Sukkah should be a place of joy, of happiness, and rejoicing. It represents the end of the journey, just like Parshat Maaseh, the entrance into the Promised Land. And for that reason, I believe on the first day of Sukkot, the Torah reading recites all the festivals of the liturgical year. Because Sukkot is the conclusion, and it contains the spiritual energy and essence of each of the preceding festivals. And the story, as the story of redemption comes to its end, and the redeemed of the Lord say so. May he who sends a redeemer to their children's children grant you a beautiful Sukkot. Hoshana and Chag Sameach. Oh,
chayim chayim Mirushalayim Mirushalayim Vayaba yomahu Yetsu mayim chayim Mirushalayim Mirushalayim Vayaba yomahu Yetsu mayim chayim Mirushalayim Mirushalayim Vayaba yomahu Yetsu mayim chayim Mirushalayim Mirushalayim